Chapter 40. Eleanor now found the difference between the expectation of an unpleasant event and certainty itself. She now realized that in spite of herself, she had always admitted a hope, while Edward remained single, that something would occur to prevent him marrying Lucy. But now he was married, and that hope was absolutely gone. She was a little surprised that the marriage had taken place so quickly, before Edward had even begun in his position as clergyman at Delaford, which was now a place she desired to avoid. She thought that perhaps in the next few days one of their connections in London would write to announce the wedding of Edward and Lucy Steele's wedding, but no letter came. However, news came unexpectedly. One day she saw a man approaching the cottage on horseback. She assumed that it must be Colonel Brandon, but it was not him, neither his air nor his height. Eleanor could not be mistaken. It was Edward. She resolved to remain in control of herself. Edward's appearance was a shock to everyone, and he himself looked very awkward. There was an awful pause. "Is Mrs. Ferrars here in Devonshire?" asked Eleanor finally. "Here in Devonshire," he answered, surprised. "No, my mother is in town." "No," said Eleanor, "I meant Mrs. Edward Ferrars." Eleanor did not dare look up, but her mother and Marianne turned their eyes on him. He coloured, seemed perplexed, and after some hesitation said, "Perhaps you mean Mrs. Robert Ferrars?" "Mrs. Robert Ferrars?" repeated Marianne and her mother in the utmost amazement. Eleanor could not speak, and fixed her eyes on him in impatient wonder. "Perhaps you do not know. My brother is lately married to Miss Lucy Steele. They were married last week." Eleanor could sit no longer. She almost ran out of the room, and as soon as the door was closed, burst into tears of joy, which she thought would never cease. Chapter 41. The Dashwood ladies could not at first understand the circumstances, but now it was certain that Edward was free. He had come to Barton for one simple reason, to ask Eleanor to marry him. After the initial confusion, he quickly secured his lady and gained her mother's consent. He felt himself to be the happiest of men. He was released from an engagement to a woman whom he had long ago ceased to love, and was now promised to a future with Eleanor. Edward explained that Robert had visited Lucy and attempted to intervene in order to persuade her to give up her engagement to his brother. Lucy had quickly understood that Edward no longer loved her, but immediately began to show an interest in Robert, which was pleasing to Robert's vanity. Very soon, Robert had entirely supplanted his brother. He was proud of his conquest, proud of tricking his brother, and very proud of marrying privately without his mother's consent. At the time, Edward had been away in Oxford and knew nothing of their meeting. The news came to him unexpectedly, in a letter from Lucy. He placed the letter in Eleanor's hand. "Dear Sir, being very sure I have long lost your affections, I have thought myself at liberty to bestow my own on another, and have no doubt I shall be as happy with him as I once used to think I might be with you. I sincerely wish you happy in your own choice. I can safely say I owe you no ill will. Your brother has gained my affections entirely. Your friend and sister, Lucy Ferrars." "This is a most appropriate punishment for your mother," said Eleanor. "She will hardly be less hurt by Robert's marrying Lucy than she would by your marrying her. She will be more hurt, for Robert always was her favourite," responded Edward. "And on the same principle, she will forgive him much sooner." Only one difficulty now remained to be overcome. They were brought together by mutual affection. Their intimate knowledge of each other seemed to make their happiness certain. They only needed something to live on. Edward was not without hopes of some favourable change in his mother towards him. Soon a letter came from Mr. John Dashwood in London. He wrote that Robert's offence was unpardonable, and Lucy's infinitely worse. Neither of them was ever again to be mentioned to Mrs. Ferrars. Mr. Dashwood added that Mrs. Ferrars had not yet spoken Edward's name to anybody. Nevertheless, he was certain she wished for a reconciliation with him. Edward felt no penitence for his actions, and did not wish to beg his mother's pardon, but he was persuaded to write to her by Eleanor, who hoped that in time Mrs. Ferrars may yet learn some humility.